morning and greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is good to worship this morning, and a warm welcome back to Sister Prashanthi here. I've seen you for a long time. We do miss the romantic family and others, the Roy family, who are unable to make this morning. Greetings. This morning, the Lord has just burdened me on the topic of sharing about an overcomer. And one of the great verses noted in about overcoming is written in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 10. Please turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 11. It says like this: "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Shall also look at one more portion from 1 John chapter 5. Turn to the 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 6. "But whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let us pray. Most gracious, most loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank thee and praise thee for giving us a beautiful morning of worship. We thank you for your precious word which you have stored for us. Even for today, O Lord, we help the servant to break thy word, and help every soul to share the word that we may be. And praise you, we may walk the walk of in the light and be an overcomer for your honor and for your glory. And ask your blessing upon this word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you all know, a few weeks ago, I was sharing about from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the Lord was showing a bit of glimpse about what we were in old creation. How did the God created us when even before the fall, and what happened after the fall, and the purpose, as even this morning the Lord brought to our attention as Brother Sandeep was sharing, of the high priest coming was to restore us back. He has got us back the image. Now we, brothers and sisters, in the new creation, as we read in the new nature, we have already overcome in Christ. We have overcome sin through Christ. We have overcome death through Christ. And that's why Paul says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The greatest difference, you know, without Christ and with Christ knowing, sin has no dominion over a believer, a believing soul. We have the authority, we have the power. The greater is in us than who is in the world. As we read this verse, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. One of the greatest evidence of a soul is born again, having the new nature, is having a transformed life. The old things are past. Every day we battle about putting the new nature. We get transformed. We are not perfect. We still sin. We have the power to overcome. What is it means to overcome the world? Jesus said, if you overcome the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, 16 it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." You read in John's Gospel that Jesus said, when now the ruler of the world will be cast out. That means the ruler of the world is Satan. Right now we see the world corrupt, dark, full of lust, full of pride. We don't have to explain much. You don't just have to see the television. Nothing good in the world. Even if you read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, we were from taken out of darkness, and it says, we were in the power of the prince of the air. But Satan is also known as he is the prince of the air. Whosoever is born of God has overcome. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what does it mean to be overcome? I'm sure many of you probably had a tough week. Before starting the week, you thought, how will I finish this week? You overcame. You prevailed. Probably have a tough year. You're looking ahead. You want to overcome whatever the task you have. Growing up as a young, student life, or many of you students here, I never used to like exams. Here we don't have much exams in this country, but in India we have often exams. And we want to overcome. You have to prepare. You have to spend time. And you overcome every examination. We all have obstacles in life. But with patience, with endurance, in our experience, we overcome that task. As I was preparing, one of the songs I like is a song, it's called We Shall Overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome one day. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. That was written in 1959 during a civil movement where the black Americans were enslaved. They wanted freedom. And they wrote a magnificent song that we shall overcome. But spiritually, when we look at us, what the Lord has done, even this morning as Brother brought attention, as Paul says in Romans 8:36, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. But firstly, we have already overcome a great obstacle. As Brother reminded, we wouldn't have been able to overcome sin without the blood which was shed. We wouldn't have been able to overcome the death penalty without Jesus dying for us on the cross. That's why Romans says we reckon that death 2,000 years ago was my death. That penalty which we paid was your penalty and my penalty 2,000 years ago. Now you may be saying, Brother, I'm having a difficult life, filled with temptation, and how do you say you overcome? Firstly, temptation is common to all. That's what the word says. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. If anyone has it, you could read it for me.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
Thank you, God. If you ask a little child, if you ask an 8-year-old, elderly, all have battles. The Lord Himself said in Hebrews, He knows our weaknesses, He was tried, He knows our infirmities. He Himself was tempted. It is not uncommon. Everybody goes through it. It is a common thing. The Lord is alert. It humbles us. It helps me to depend more on God. It knows how fragile we are without Christ. If you turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, I shall read for you. Luke's Gospel chapter 21 and verse 31 and 32. It says like this. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Who is Peter? Simon Peter. If you read about Simon Peter, he's a great character. And you know that he had tremendous faith. He was so humble that when he saw the 153 fishes, he said, Lord, I'll just follow you. And I'm a sinful man, depart from me. On that night, Peter said, when we read these verses, 24 hours before Jesus was crucified, he said, I'll be with you in the prison. I will die with you. But the thought I would like to bring here, as we just read this word, this is before Simon fell. Before Simon denied Jesus three times. As you read this verse, the Lord Jesus is saying, what will happen to Simon, right? He's saying, you'll be tested, you'll be in trial in the next few hours. The Satan will strip you like a wheat. We all know how terrible days Peter had. It is terrible when you reject God, when you're far from God. He was tried. He saw Jesus being whipped, mocked. He could not be with Jesus. We all know the story. We won't go to those verses. He denied three times. But when we look at the Lord, He's a sovereign God. He knows this week what will happen to Brother Johnson. He knows what will happen to Brother Nagaraj. There is, in this life, Jesus is not saying it's bed of roses. The verse is, in this life, you will have trials and tribulation. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. Be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome. We will have tribulation. Sadly, the lifetimes we are living in right now, we're going to have more challenges, more trials. That is what the Lord has shared, especially for believers. So the Lord knew what will happen to Peter. Did the Lord remove the obstacle to Peter? He did not. The obstacle still happened. But the Lord, what did the Lord do? He prayed for Peter. That's what the Lord does even today. He's called a mediator. He's my great mediator. He's called it. He prays. He mediates. He reminds the accuser of the blood which is shed for me. And secondly, we see one of the great verses for me, encouragement, in Isaiah chapter 43. It says like this, verse 1 and 2. When you go through the waters, I am with you. It will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, it will not burn you. The Lord does not promise that you won't go through waters. You won't go through fire. Even as we read in 1 Corinthians 10, He will make your way out. He will provide the grace. He will provide the strength. The most important promise for me and you is He is with us. He's always with us. He knows how much we can take. And He knows how much to give. As He's like the goldsmith. You know, how much a gold can take. He knows the exact time when to remove that trial or tribulation. In John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 16 says, I will send you a comforter, He will be with you. You see in verse 19 of John's Gospel it says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is a promise for every child of God. He lives in your heart. He is with you. In Matthew's Gospel we know, though I am with you to the end of the age. Even Jesus on that night when He said that, be of good cheer, I have overcome. You know, if you turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 16, verse 33. If you turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 33. And I read from verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, it is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I hope you understand when the Lord said this encouraging words. Do you think Jesus was surrounded by 12 disciples encouraging Him? He's going to be alone. No one's going to help Jesus. Every single friend, even the 70 disciples, the 12 disciples, even Peter, will deny Him the next morning. But who is with God? Who is with Jesus? He said, verse 32, I am not alone, because my Father is with me. You may be going through a challenge, brothers and sisters. One thing I would encourage you to take is God is with you. Jesus took this promise. I am God, the Father is with me. And I, in God's strength, in the will of the Father, He loved me and you, and He took the cup, which we just remembered. Now as we look at various portions, just how do people overcome? You know, there are various from last 6,000 plus years from planet Earth, even before Christ coming, they had faith in God Jehovah. There were many people who have tried. The past few weeks, as family, we've been spending on reading Exodus. And there we came about as two sisters. His name is, you know, Shipra among us. Shipra and Puah in Exodus chapter 1. And they were the Hebrew midwives. And they were living under the hand of Pharaoh. The king was cruel, you know. They made the nation of Israel slaves. And they were asked, because the Israel grew stronger and stronger, the Egypt Pharaoh said to these two midwives, as soon as a child is born, a son is born, you shall kill the son. What did they do? Just take a moment. If you were asked, if you had to do it, you believe God. Otherwise, you lose your life. It says like this in verse 16 and 17 of Exodus. It says, chapter 1, they feared God. They feared God. And they did not do what Pharaoh asked. And they gave birth. And they, God gave them the wisdom that they said, Hebrews women are stronger before the child is born. And they're very quick. And God protected these two women. But glory to God. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. It's so important that fear God, which will lead to us to the right path, right choices. There we see a great character, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You read them in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. They were asked to go against an image. Mind you, brothers and sisters, a time is coming on planet Earth where you will be asked to do what you don't like to do, what will be against the scriptures. It can happen so quickly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm. We sang that song this afternoon. I stand on the rock. They stood firm. They were far from the land of Israel. They were in Babylon. They could have just bowed down and got off. But they said, in faith, God is able to deliver me even if I'm in the fire. You know that fire was so hot, the people who took them, they died on the way. And God did deliver them. There were four people in the fire in the presence. The fourth one was the presence of God. We don't have to speak about the zeal they had. We know about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were steadfast. They had tremendous zeal. And what kept them? What keeps the commandment? If you love me, you shall keep my commandments. Love for God is so important in our hearts to be an overcomer. Zeal for God and to keep the commandments. We all know about Joseph, a great overcomer, a great inspiration for the times of a believer. He was like a Christian believer who forgave his brothers, who was so far in the land of Egypt. He was 18 years of age when he was taken captive from when his brothers sold him. But when he assisted a few years later, the Pharaoh's wife, we all know he was quick, he was watchful, he ran, and he chose righteousness than doing wrong. There was something in his heart for God. It was something with Jacob, probably the father who taught Joseph for 18 years. That's why the word of God says, train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall never forget. So important as parents, we train our child to choose that they may be overcomers. In New Testament, we know Peter and John, they were preaching and they were told not to preach the gospel. You know, they were also being beaten, and we see the tremendous attitude that they said we were counted worthy that we were beaten. You know, I remember Brother Vijay shared about that man who was on the family of Christ. in India who was beaten so badly, and he was praising God even during the operation. You know, at the time of operation, he's thanking, you could see his face, and that is really encouraging. That is the same attitude Peter and John had, that we need to obey God more than anyone, and they glorified God, and they overcame that task. So as we come back to Revelation chapter 12, these are the things which the Lord has stored for us. And this particular portion, as we speak, is a portion which is yet to happen in a way. When we read Revelation, it's not in chronology, as we, especially this chapter, you know, and we read about believers in Christ, especially in the nation of Israel, I believe, in the end times. If I would like to just read a few verses so that we can get a bit of context where this verse was written, verse 11. But we won't dwell in deep in chapter 12. It's much to study here. But let's read chapter 12 of Revelation. There's a few verses there. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun, a moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with the rod of iron, and a child was caught into God, up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war with heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of brethren is cast down, which cast them before our God day and night. Verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There's lots in this chapter. We see a prophetical word, few things which have already happened and few things which are yet to happen. The woman here, as we read in verse 1, is the nation of Israel. The woman with the had the 12 stars speaks about the 12 tribes, crowned with favor. And we see she was with the child. And we see in verse 5, that man-child who was to rule the nations with the rod of iron, and the child was caught up into God. This speaks about the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago. We do know Satan attacked. Even then, in times of Moses, the same story we see in the time of the birth of Jesus, where the Roman king wanted to kill Jesus. They prevailed. Jesus did the task and overcame. But then we also see in this, what did the Satan do? There's a battle happening in heaven. Satan drew, we saw 1/3 of the stars, speaks about 1/3 of fallen angels, with his name is called Lucifer the Satan, the devil, the old serpent. Now we come from verse 6, suddenly we come to the future, what's going to happen. We see about the time called 1,260 260 days in verse 6. We see this particular time period mentioned by our God in various portions of scripture, especially in Daniel and Revelation. We see that as 3.5 years. We see that as 42 months. This is the time the Lord has told it will be a dreadful time. Nothing like what you're seeing, what is happening in Russia and in Ukraine. Beyond, it's not, never happened. That's what the Lord says. It never happened on planet Earth. It's called a great tribulation time. A time where the power, the time will be given to the enemy, the Satan, to rule. There'll be no peace. We do know there's 7 years of tribulation, but the first 3.5 years, there will be false peace. There'll be time building up. But this is the time where the last 3.5 years, where we read about 666, you know, we read in chapter 13, where if we don't 666 with a chip on your hand or head, you won't even get water. You won't probably get a food. You won't get fuel. You will have to go on as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. The time is coming like that. But when you see, I personally believe the church will be taken up by that time. Even if you are a pre-trib believer with the church rapture, or even a mid-trib, we are speaking about the last 3.5 years. I personally believe the church will be raptured. But this is specifically, we do see the gospel will go till the end of 7 years, even after the church rapture. Even this, there will be remnant of Israel who will know a Savior. We read in Zechariah 12, it says like this, they will weep as they have lost their own son when they see how they pierced the Messiah who had come. There will be chosen ones, the remnant, who will turn back. They will know the Messiah, the true Messiah, and they will be born again Christians. But they have a great task. We are looking at a picture, a dreadful time, challenging time, and that particular time, the verse says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the end. Now when we say they overcame him, who is that him? You know, we talk about him, I need to overcome him. We did read a few things in verse 9. It's the great dragon, the old serpent called the devil. Can someone read for me Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 15? Do you have it?
How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You who have beaten the nations, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the most high.
Thank you, Lord. We read about this great dragon. His name is called Lucifer. You may also turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11 to 19. It says, this great dragon, the old serpent, in verse 11, thou hast been in the Eden of God. In verse 14, it says, thou art the anointed cherub. He was the angel Lucifer. He was a mighty angel. And we do know that in verse 15, God created him. In verse 15, thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till the iniquity was found. Verse 17, the heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and he defiled the sanctuaries. Now when we look at this old serpent, he was an angel created by God. He was beautiful. We read in Ezekiel 28, he was clothed with stones, precious stones, onyx and topaz and all kinds of stones you could read. He was full of beauty. In his pride, one of the first things we see is pride. to be like God. And so sad that sin entered, and now we see where we are. But we also see, as brother was reading from Isaiah chapter 14, we see what is written about his end. He is fallen from heaven, we read. He is cast down to the earth. He sought to ascend to God's throne. His destination is lowest part of the pit. His destination is the lake of fire. But when we look at this angel, we know his character is known as the deceiver. He is the accuser. We read in Revelation, he accuses day and night. That's his job. He accuses us day and night. He is a liar. He lied to Adam and Eve. He deceived them. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I'll read for you from 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Have you seen a roaring lion chasing a deer or an animal? Most of you may have watched on television. It watches, it holds, it waits, it sees the weakness. It aims for one, it attacks, it jumps and holds the neck. Yes, brothers, as we look at the portion, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, they loved not their life. As we know, yes, he is a deceiver. We need to be vigilant. But praise be to God. Greater is in us than who is in the world. There were 70 people Jesus prayed and sent to go and preach to the towns. As they preached the evangelized, we read that Jesus said, "I saw Satan falling like a lightning." Jesus said these words when in John's Gospel chapter 17, when the time was come, now the hour has come, where the Satan will be cast out. But many scholars do believe he does have a limited access to heaven. We do read it in Job that Satan went, spoke with God. We do see in Revelation, as we just read, there are war happening nowadays in our lives, but there's also war happening with Michael the angel and the fallen angels. We read that in Revelation chapter 12. That's why the word says our battle is against principalities or powers of darkness. It's not like we see it. It happens. It's powers of darkness. Our weapons are spiritual weapons. So as we come back to our portion in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. So we're looking at the last 3.5 years as we look at the portion and the time where these believers were tested. And we do not know what will happen next month in Australia. We do see far away what's happening right now. The important is to know that we can overcome through Christ. It may be a challenging time, but God has empowered us with all the weapons we need to be an overcomer. And these believers overcame firstly by the blood of the Lamb. This morning the brother shared much about the priest and the blood which was shed. If Jesus had not come, all that is just practical, right? If Jesus had not shed his blood, all that is just theory. Even when we look at Exodus, we know the story, we won't read it. In Exodus chapter 12, there was a great judgment passing, judgment of death. And they had to take a lamb. They had to kill the lamb. The lamb has to be, the blood will be firstly in the basin, right? And there was a plant called hyssop. It's a Middle Eastern plant. They take the hyssop and they apply it on the doorpost. The nation of Israel, every household of Israel was saved that day because of the shed blood of the lamb, the substitute. Now I was thinking about it. If the blood was just on the basin, and if they had not applied it on the doorpost, what the Lord had told, they would have been judged. Jesus has paid the penalty. He has paid in full. I need to apply this blood by faith. I take this blood. I receive Jesus in my heart. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says like this. Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God, we are called redeemed people of God. And this is one of my favorite verses. We read that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7.
He knew we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace.
Thanks, brother. We have redemption through his blood. What is being called redeemed? What are you redeemed of? You've been redeemed from the sins. That's why Peter said, even if you may have $1 million today, you cannot redeem what I have done. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us and wash us. It was reminding the blood of Jesus cleanses our conscience, our hearts. Only the blood can make us just. Romans 5:1 says we've been justified in faith. Romans 5:9 says we've been justified through his blood. Being justified means you've been called as if you have not sinned, being made right with God. We see in 1 John 1:7, it says like this, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. This is written for believers who have already known the Savior, who have already experienced the light. Even for believers, even for the next week, we continue to walk in the light. Because we are in the light. If we fail, we need to be quick to confess. Never delay confessing. The previous verse will say, if you sin, confess, repent, it's the same blood, again for believers. We need to be ready to also to forgive others. That's why Jesus in the prayer, Lord's Prayer says, forgive them, let your sins be forgiven, as we forgive those who sin against us. When we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now what is it that when we speak about they overcame by the blood? We do know we have already overcome the sin and death. Me personally, as a personal testimony, whenever the enemy comes and brings me a doubt of my old past, I remember the blood. I bring to my mind the blood of Jesus has paid for my that sin. All my past, that's the word, as for the east is to the west, so far the Lord removed my transgressions. He remembers no more. It is important, I do not know whether these brothers and sisters who were being tempted at the end times doubt, they reminded the blood of the Lamb. What a privilege for all of us, time after time, to come and remember. I do not know about you, that was my precious time. We may worship and everything, but this great connection, just to remember what Jesus did, that my purpose, what has happened to my, all that I had done, and what is the blessed hope. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They, time and time they reminded themselves, time and time they proclaimed also the witness about the blood of the Lamb. Secondly, we see they overcame him by the word of their testimony. One of the things, brothers and sisters, the Lord is reminding each one of us is to give priority to the word. Thy word is a light and a lamp unto our feet. God Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit They are life. It has given me and you life. This book has given us eternal life, which we don't realize what is true, what is the depth of what gift of life is. The Word of God is sorted as a great weapon in Ephesians chapter 6. We see it's a sword. We see in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 4, I think that was Brother George or Brother Bob was bringing the thought about what did Jesus do when he was tempted. Jesus rebuked the Satan, responded to Satan by the word of God. It is written. It is written. Now, how many of you practically use this in your life? Do I use it in my life? When enemy attacks, do we speak to Satan? You know, it is written this way. We all have this, as we read, no temptation is uncommon. Jesus was also tempted. Jesus was asked, he was hungry, he could have made that stone to bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. Every word proceeded out of God. Firstly, this word was a priority in these believers. We are living in such a time. The word is indeed our belt. You know, one of the weapons, the word of God, the sword, the word of truth. The God has said in John's Gospel chapter 17, he says, sanctify them by the word of truth. It sanctifies my heart. Times and times it sanctifies. The word is a truth. Jesus has said he came by water and blood. The water is word. He is the word which became flesh. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, we read like this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, verse 14 says, for unto you fathers, 1 John chapter 4 verse 14, for unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning, I have written unto you, young man, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth, ye have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abideth. I hid the word in my heart that I might not sin. It is so important that we build our life upon the word of God. If we can't, if you have to respond to Satan with word, you need to know the word. And as Brother Arun and Brother Jeep encourages us in September time to learn 30 scriptures. I'm sure those 30 scriptures have been a great blessing. It's not only those 30 scriptures, all the scriptures we learn, all the verses we could use against Satan. So these great believers, they all came by the blood. They all came by the word. They remember the promises of the word of God. How many times the word of promises of eternal life, the gift of salvation, keeps us going. How many times like words like Isaiah 43, which says, I am with you in this trial, keeps us going. It kept them going. The word was with them. They overcame. And I also believe when he says, read this, the word of their testimony. They had a testimony of the word. One of the great things I and you can do is not only just know the word, not only take the word, we witness the word. We witness to others. Times like this, they would have witnessed to other Jewish believers proclaiming the word. I myself experience when I go for giving tracts, to be honest, I get encouraged more than sometimes when other person may have not received anything. When they come and ask, how do you know Jesus is the Son of God? How do you say this? And when you, the Holy Spirit helps you to answer and witness, you really get encouraged witnessing the word. They all came in by the word of their testimony. And thirdly, we saw they all came in. They loved not their lives. They loved not themselves. I think that is the greatest lesson I need to learn. And we need to learn that God is my first love. When we say God is my first love, we read it in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot love two things. We love Jesus all our heart. That is indeed one of the commandments in 10 commandments, that you love the Lord all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you should love Him alone. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone wants to follow me, let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 24. Jesus said unto disciples, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Brothers and sisters, we are reading in a times which is yet to happen in the last 3.5 years. We are looking at a prophetical word, especially the Jewish Christians, where they will be asked to put 666. They will be asked to bow down to the image, the beast of the dragon, where they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of God. They love not their lives. This should be my attitude and your attitude in the days to prepare ourselves. We love not ourselves. Regardless of death, they love God more than anything. They did not love their life. That's what it means. This life, as in Corinthians we were reading the other day, one died for me. The life now I live is not for myself. It's for Christ. And Paul says like this in Romans 8, verse 35, as I finish the verses, if you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8.
Who will separate us from the love of Christ? The tribulation or distress or persecution, a suffering or nakedness or peril or sword?
Keep going, brother.
Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us.
For yes.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you, brother. What a powerful testimony of the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, what can separate you from the love of God? Any trials, any challenges, neither heights, neither depth. Neither, not principalities, not powers, not things present, not things to come. May the love of the Lord rule in our hearts. May we love as these believers will love God. They love not their, like Ashadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Cain. They love not their lives. Now, brothers and sisters, as we look at this verse, we have already overcome in Christ. As Paul said, we are more than conquerors in Christ. In this life, we shall overcome in Christ, through Christ. And we are overcomers. And that life, the Lord has, as 1 John 1 says, He was born again, as we read, as we finished 1 John, as we opened that portion. Everybody who is born of God, whosoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. As Hebrews, Ephesians 6, 16 reminds, the faith is a shield. Let us be steadfast as we speak on being confident in our faith, being confident in what we believe, being steadfast. As the Lord reminded from Shadrach, Meshach, and Shiphrah and Purah, let us have the zeal. Let us fear God. Let the love of God may rule in our hearts. As we think about Daniel, he reminds about a prayer life. If you're going through challenges, increase the prayer time. That is the greatest weapon. If you want to read more reference, more time you can spend on Ephesians 6. There are many spiritual references. God willing, we'll also look at the rewards of overcomers are written in Revelation. There will be rewards for people who will be overcomers in the times to come. We see they'll be having access to tree of life, hidden manna, access to sit with God in the throne of God. We will have been given authorities to rule with God. There are many other portions as we read. So may the Lord encourage us. May the Lord help us to lead a victorious life in Christ. That shall we pray for us. My gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for giving us this precious word and encouraging me and encouraging us through your word. Yes, Lord, we can overcome through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of God, and the love of their lives. Help us, Lord, that we may grow deeper in the relationship with God. We acknowledge, Lord, you have spoken about the times we are living in. Dreadful times, terrible times. Lord, help us that we may shine as a light in this dark world by holding on, being steadfast. If there's anyone weak here, you know, Lord, that you may empower us through your presence, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.